Welcome to the Tag Along the Learning Show podcast series, episode 84 with independent learning tech analyst John Lay. Today I interview Pete Mast, CEO and founder of Learning, about the power of community microlearning. You'll find more of our fiercely independent content at talentedlearning.com. Well, welcome back, listeners, to the Talented Learning Show podcast. On this show, I am fortunate to interview the world's leading experts in learning solutions from both the vendor and the practitioner perspectives. Today's no different. From the vendor expert side of the fence, we're lucky to have serial entrepreneur Pete Mastin to learn about a new way to learn and build a community of engaged learners of really any type. You know, this year at Talented Learning, we've been talking a lot about user groups and communities. Why? Well, almost overnight, they became a critical part of the customer education solution stack and is tightly integrated with other learning, LMS, and business systems. And that was something that was previously owned by marketing, but now a shift is happening where the learning folks are really getting the crack to manage these communities because there's so much overlap in between that and learning. Now, a series of LMS vendors that we cover here at Talented Learning are developing intra-LMS user group functionality that can be used to augment existing learning systems for special projects or groups when you need to kick things up a notch. There's a lot of benefits to developing a user community, from, you know, extending your reach, enabling learners at the point of need, improving customer satisfaction, developing and identifying advocates are just a few. Well, we've also been talking a lot about microlearning here at Talented Learning. And microlearning is, you know, a very popular strategy of delivering learning in very small interactive chunks of video or really any media. And what it does is it helps. It's tied to skills. It's tied to assessment. It's very small, and you do it more often and do it more frequently. And you get served up that content based on when you need it or how you need it. And it helps to beat the forgetting curve and deliver learning to workers that might not be sitting at a desk or a laptop and really at the point of need. And so, well, what Eat and Learning have done, and we're going to learn all about it, is to bring those two pieces together, the microlearning piece with the user group and the community piece, form a new type of solution that organizations of all types are using to enhance the learning process. We're going to learn all about it. We're going to learn about the benefits, the uses, content types, the functionality, metrics, you know, tech stack, integrations, case studies, and more. Pete, welcome to the Talented Learning Show. It's sure great to have you here.
Great to be here, John.
All right. This is an exciting topic. Community micro learning is new. It's in vogue. It brings together the, well, micro learning and community learning and user groups and those concepts together and really is a kind of a new way to look at learning. But it's not something that everybody knows a lot about. That's why I'm really excited to have you here, Pete, so that we could dig into the specifics of it, you know, what it is, you know, why people use it, what kind of organizations, what's the learning experience, what's the functionality mean, what are the benefits, what are some real life use cases, you know, are all just a few of the things I have up my sleeve to ask you here today. So that's a lot. So let's get going. You're a serial entrepreneur. Learning is somewhat of a new organization. Only have a few years under your belt at this point. So it's fair to assume that not everybody knows who you are. So why don't we start there? Why don't you tell us about the organization and why you founded it?
Thanks. So first of all, John, great to be here. We founded the organization, me and my co-founders, primarily because we've all had a lot of experience in ed tech and in workforce training solutions. And what we noticed is the outcomes were never as great as the anticipated as they were anticipated to be, meaning, you know, there are promises made about how you're going to have a learning culture and how you're going to create this, you know, utopia within your organization by just deploying an LMS. And the reality was less than that in a lot of cases. And so what we started thinking a lot about in 2020 was, what is it about, you know, training that, you know, doesn't work with traditional LMSs? And some of it was the micro learning. That's a big piece of it, right? Because our attention spans, nobody wants to sit through long form video. And some of it was the community aspect, which I think really differentiates learning a lot in the space. Because we're not just a micro learning platform, we're a community micro learning platform. And what that means is, you know, we allow a company to capture the knowledge of their best employees in a way that's non-intrusive, and that is not only non-intrusive to create that knowledge, but non-intrusive to consume it. So that was our vision in 2020. We implemented it, rolled it out, really started picking up steam in late 2022, 2023. And here we are today.
Wow. Great. Congratulations. Love a good entrepreneurial story. Now, microlearning. So let's start digging into the pieces of that. You know, microlearning is actually one of the, more confusing terms or more disagreed upon terms in the industry, because what's micro? How small? What is small? What's that actually mean? So why don't you tell us what microlearning really means? What's the common definition or your common definition of it? And then how is that different from community microlearning?
So what we focused on with micro, and by the way, in 2020, had you asked this question, you'd have plenty of people that would have stepped up and said, I just cut the video down to 15 minutes. That's micro learning, right? And so we took a very radical, view of micro learning, and we learned a lot from what people are doing in the field. And there's a whole methodology of presentation called Pekakuchu that allows people to create very, very short form presentations. So we learn from that, and we learn from what a lot of some of the card systems are doing. And we aggregated all of this into what our platform calls microlearning. And with my background in video, I come very much out of the video space all the way back to the dot-com era. And so I insisted on having a high quality video platform. Many micro learning platforms don't even support video, which we think is a terrible mistake, because video remains one of the most compelling and engaging ways to create communication and knowledge. So we, combine these things into a very short form video. The typical learning, what we call a learning, is a lesson, is anywhere from 1 minute to 3.5 to 5 minutes, sort of at the outside. And then we allow companies to string learnings together into learning journeys to create a course. With regard to community, our big differentiator, we allow companies to designate within a community, within a group of people, and a group of content, certain people are allowed to create content, and those people are your community leaders. So imagine, if you will, a solar farm, and you've got some guys who are really great at doing inverter inspections. So you send those guys out to do the inspections, but you could also ask them, hey, John, while you're out there in the field, I want you to create a couple of short form learnings about what you do in that inspection. Or if you're in a restaurant, a kitchen, and you've got the sous chef to end all sous chefs, you can ask him, but tell us what you do to prep. Tell us, or if you got the barista at the coffee house, tell us how you make that cortada. And you can, essentially allow the employees, the best employees, the people who have the knowledge of your business, to create what's unique about your business and create that learning. That's what makes community different, right? You're actually learning about what you do. Way too much of learning platforms are about sort of generic compliance content. Nothing wrong with that. Compliance has to be there. But what we want to be is beyond compliance. We want to allow companies to create that content that makes them unique and special. And so that's what we've really focused on.
Wow. What kind of companies or organizations, I guess, more general, or industries, are adopting microlearning or community microlearning or both right now?
Yeah, we've seen a wide variety of industries, everything from retail. And in retail, what we see is people using it to, train their sales staff. So imagine if you've got a retail chain, couple hundred stores, and you've got high turnover in those retail positions, you can have onboarding learnings to about the couches or the bed system, the sleep systems, and you can allow people to learn very quickly. We also have solar farm companies that are out there training people on how to, do inspections and how to do installations. We've got insurance adjusters that are using it to train people on how to climb up on a roof safely and how to inspect the roof and what counts as a damaged roof and what doesn't. We've got, people who are franchising out, bug spray companies and they're creating franchises in fact, franchises in general are a very popular business that a lot of franchises come to us because they want to scale. They have the two problems we really solve: efficiency and scale. They have both of them. They want to scale their business, right, and add more, more locations, but they also want to do it efficiently. So that's you know, they can save money in on by using us, but also create something that's a world-class learning platform for as they add new locations.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those frontline employees, as it turns out, don't have laptops or sit at a computer every day. What was your strategy on handling that?
Great question. And you're right. We do target companies with frontline workers. We also target companies with, you know, just knowledge workers. But to answer your question, you know, we went with a mobile first strategy, right? So we very much, you know, came out of the gate with mobile apps and, you know, native mobile apps in both app stores. But we also have a browser based app and they all work interchangeably perfectly together. But, you know, the mobile app is one thing that really differentiates us because it's very much of a very lightweight TikTok style app that lets people look up the content they need and, you know, engage with it and maybe even send it to someone. So if you've got someone on site somewhere and says, hey, I'm up on top of a tower and I can't remember how to, you know, do this, I can send you that learning in real time. You can consume that content and then move on with your job.
Well, cool. Cool. And does this platform act as an LMS? Like, is this the only learning system that an organization would use, or is it more common that there is an LMS and community micro learning would augment that for special circumstances, or both?
Great question. So we, in smaller companies, we typically are the LMS of record, right? So we have lots of companies that use our service that are just using it as we are. And we have all the backend analytics that they need. We don't necessarily have everything that an LMS has built in, but we do have everything for a mid-sized company to be able to, you know, see what certifications people have, allow you to assign work, assign journeys. However, on larger companies, as you can well imagine, especially in some of the industries that are more established, these people already have LMSs. And so we came out of the gate with XAPI integration enabled from day one, which allows us to plug and play directly with a learning record store in any of the major LMSs. And so those companies can use Learny effectively as a for their frontline workers, but have a single pane of glass on the back end for all the reporting.
Wow. Neat. A few years ago, there used to be restrictions. Maybe there still are. But there used to be restrictions about organizations and franchises and stuff using their personal devices to access training. Is that still an issue in 2024, or have we gotten over that?
We see it sometimes, not as often as we did even 2 years ago. People are definitely overcoming that. I think, you know, when someone comes up to a kid on the floor and looks over his shoulder and sees him on, you know, a social media app out there looking at, you know, whatever he's looking at, that's sort of one thing. When they walk up to that same person, they see that person on a Learny figuring out how to more effectively sell the sleep system, for instance, then it becomes pretty okay, right? And so if you're creating enough engagement in a work app, then I think companies come around. But where we certainly don't see that is in the newer industries, again, like solar. We've had some success there. And I think part of that is that's an emerging industry. And so they haven't set those kind of restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you're creating content, you're talking about how you designate the smart or the best employees or maybe the most outstanding ones in one way or another as the ones to contribute some of that content. Is there more? What other community type features exist? Is there a community like back and forth between the students also, or is it mainly for the generation of content?
So we allow, there's a couple of things. Let me go into some detail about that because it's a good question you asked. That was only one of the methods we have of designating who can create content. We also have customers that we have the Wild West where they let everyone create content. And what is often done there is we have a security protocol, you know, essentially an approval process. And so the administrator still has to approve what learnies are going there. So if John creates a learnie about, you know, topic XYZ, I can still, and I'm the administrator, I can say, hey, John, that was great. But that second burst, I just need you to be a little more clear what you mean there. You know, a truck went by, I couldn't hear you, or whatever it is. So you can work with them and create community. But they're also, we allow chat in the community so people can, you know, ask questions in the community that can be answered by other people. And we also allow, we have an AI assistant that people can ask questions, and that acts as another agent in a community to help people with even some little things like how do you do certain things within learning.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's a good transition. I was going to ask you that later, but now that you brought it up, how does AI impact a micro? In fact, AI is one of the micro learning platforms. We're one of the first type of platforms that were using AI. But how has it expanded out in 2024?
Yeah, so it's hard to ignore AI right now. In fact, if you look behind my head, you see the artificial intelligence. So I can't ignore it. It's behind me at all times. But you know, we've got about six different ways that we have that we've integrated AI in the platform, but we are really a human generated platform. That is the thing to remember is what we're trying to do is get what makes this company unique. Now, what we do know is AI can really assist in that process, right? So we have things like AI quiz generation. If you're the if you're the guy who created that learning journey or that learning, you can turn on this quiz assistant and it will actually automatically generate a quiz for you based on the content in the learning, in the micro lesson. So that's one way that we've used AI to assist, but not replace the human element here. Another is one I already mentioned, the AI assistant. It's an expert on how to use different features of learning. And so it can you know, quickly take you to where you need to be. We also have, and these two kind of go hand in hand, we have an AI-based search that uses our content, AI-based content tagging. So if I create a learning about, again, let's say I'm in a kitchen and I'm making meatballs. And so I want to create a learning about how to create meatballs. It will tag it. It will listen to what I've said, watch what I've done, and it will tag it appropriately, which what that means is if you've got other learners in that community about how to make spaghetti, it'll actually relate these things. And so that AI search works very nicely to direct you to related content. We also used AI for closed captioning in 120 languages. So, you know, if you create a learning in Spanish or Polish or French or whatever, that learning will actually correctly close caption that and allow people to, you know, have that 508 compliance. And the last one is, and this isn't something that's in the product, but we've seen an uptick in interest in AI-based avatars to replace a human on a video. Sometimes people don't want to be on video. And so we've seen some of that and we've consulted with clients on the best practices around that.
Wow. Cool. So we talked about employees for sure. And then you were mentioning franchises who typically aren't your employees, but they act like your employees as another potential use. What about customers? Is there any application for your customers to participate in something like this?
That's funny. Yes. And when you mean customers, the way I'm hearing that is consumers. Is that what you're meaning? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. The users of your products and services or software.
Yeah, so we've got a customer that wants to go directly to consumer with our product. It's a manufacturing. So imagine they make couches, they make furniture, and it's smart furniture, right? With QR code, USB plugs and speakers and so forth. And so what they want to do, one of our features is we allow a QR code to be related to a learning. So automatically any learning, any micro lesson you create, you automatically get a QR code. And what they're going to do is they're going to put that QR code directly onto that piece of furniture. So a consumer can walk up, scan it, and then get trained on all the features around that. That's a very interesting use case. And we see that in manufacturing. We've actually talked to a couple of manufacturing companies that have both gotten that use case very strongly.
What about integration? Pete, does learning stand alone as a micro? We talked about integrating into the learning management system, but anything else?
Well, I mean, single sign-on. We often are asked, and that's just a checkbox on our you know pricing worksheet. Was you know when people say we always ask, what are you using? Do you want to have a single sign-on? We have a number of ways for people to get users into the system, everything from uploading a spreadsheet full of email addresses or phone numbers to, you know, using single sign-on. So we support all of the various forms of single sign-on with a variety of platforms. And that and XAPI for other LMSs are really, I think, the primary integrations. Now, we do have external integrations with other forms of content. So for instance, if you have a long form video that you've been using to train your plant, you know, the people who work in your plant, you can still use that, right? You can actually have a short form learning that then has a link to external content. So we allow people to bring content into the app that's longer formed and use. You're not forced to throw away any content that you've already created.
What about metrics? What's important with a microlearning platform and regular LMS? It's like, you know, who started, who completed, you know, what score they got, you know, the standard stuff.
All of that's there. All of that is important and still there. But one of the unique things we have is, you know, kind of what we would refer to as the health, community health. And what that has to do with is how many people are active in the community, how many people are chatting in the community, how many people are creating content. And we've gamified some of that. We've created a badging system that allows, you know, people to get judged on their level of participation. And we're even considering later this year launching the ability to match that badging system with, the ability for companies to fund a reward system. So imagine you become a platinum in the community. And so now you get a Starbucks card or something, or you get an Amazon card. So we're working on those kind of features, but right now the badging system is in place and people can see that. And there's a lot of metrics around community health that again, have to do with sort of how engaged people are, how many people have you commented on a learning? Have you asked a question about a learning? And we can measure all of those features as well as the traditional LMS about, have you taken the learnings? Have you completed them? And have you passed the quizzes correctly?
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right. What about, you've done it informally here throughout this conversation. Thank you about different use cases that's out there. Could you share some, any additional ones, case studies or success metrics or anything that you think would be help illustrate the power of community microlearning?
Sure. I'll tell you one I'm super excited about. It's the school system. And I will tell you, I think I told you this, John, off camera, like we did not set out to work with K-12 education with an uppercase C. We really are focused on workforce training. Turns out there's this part of the workforce called teachers that need professional development. And so we're really super proud that we found a very, very forward-looking group out west that is using us for teacher professional development, and they are so engaged. It's so much fun to watch, and we're seeing that community be one of the most active communities. And in a way, it shouldn't surprise anybody because teachers are performers. If you think about it, they're people that, you know, they are. This is very much something that they can lean in on. So. It's been really a very nice, rewarding use case. And there'll be more on that later as the school system kind of gets further along where we can announce some of the successes there. Another one is one of our larger companies. It's a retail company in the Southeast, has 380 stores. They've been using us to train for sales and high level of engagement there. And more importantly, you know, they've renewed, they continue to lean in on it. I mentioned the solar industry. We've got both residential and commercial solar providers that are using us. The reason I love the solar industry so much is I tell this story all the time, which is sometimes and part of our services, we don't just drop your software and say goodbye, good luck. We actually have an onboarding process to create success. And some of our onboarding can be, you know, rather lengthy, right? I mean, it can be, if you're talking to someone who's been in L&D for 25 years and maybe they had never really thought about microlearning a whole lot. So those conversations can take a while. Other times, and this one I'm thinking of is an example of this. We had the first meeting with this particular individual. He was a CEO of a solar company. And he told my team after one meeting, usually we have at least minimally five meetings where we came together. After the first meeting, he was like, guys, I got this. I got this. I'll sweat it. And he's created some of the best learnings that I've ever seen. And they're fun. They're very short burst. He got it. I mean, he just got it. And I think if I had to go check it, he's probably a TikTok star, right? Because he really knows how to create engagement on camera, but also using the interactive features of our app. So it's, you know, those are some of my favorite case studies.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite, but you didn't get to my favorite one yet. My favorite one is the Amy Copeland Foundation. Give us a snapshot on that.
That one, sure. Well, she's actually that one super near and dear to my heart. Amy was one of our early adopters. She's been using us now 2.5 years. And Amy, it's called All Terrain Georgia is the name of the organization.
That's right.
And it was founded by Amy Copeland. Amy, basically went out, raised a bunch of money and bought these off-road wheelchairs and put them around in state parks in the state of Georgia. And I think they have plans on expanding outside of Georgia. And they are using Learney to train people on how to use these vehicles. And I'm telling you, these vehicles are awesome. If you go to allterraingeorgia.com and check it out, but it looks like a tank. And I really want to be able to ride one day because I haven't had the chance. Although I went to the ribbon cutting, but they're amazing. And people use Learney now to just get trained on how to use the vehicle. Moving forward into this year, they're going to start using it to actually help on trails. So if you're out on a trail and a tree has fallen, somebody can create a Learney right there and say, hey, this isn't a safe path anymore, and here's why, and actually take a Learney. So that gets to, I think, one of the big key things that really makes us different is the ability to create what we call disposable learning. Disposable learning is something so simple, but it's really important, right? It's something that you would never find in an LMS. Right? Because LMSs are all about kind of almost cornerstone learning, right? But what if you're on a job site at a construction and you have a sinkhole that's formed, right? Well, you're not always going to have that sinkhole, but right now you can create a learning about how to avoid it or how to be safe around it. And so what we want to do is make creating learning so easy that you can create those kind of things. And that's what Amy's going to be doing, this year.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great story. The part about the chairs is that it's for folks that have physical or mental disabilities that wouldn't have the opportunity to ever get out in the woods or get on a trail. So in addition to all the learning aspects of it, they're doing just a tremendous good for society, in my opinion. So it's
100% agree.
Come together. All right. We're out of time already. These conversations go so quick, but we got time for one final question. It's the advice question. What advice would you give an organization that wants to deploy and grow a micro learning community and hasn't started yet? What are the first thing you got to do to either sell it in your organization or, get this process moving? Well, what would you advise?
At the risk of sounding like I'm telling a joke, I'll say, well, call Learney. But second, I would say there is truly a difference between traditional long form content and micro learning. And we've really figured that out, and we figured out how best to do it. And we have companies, we meet companies all the time that have got, 3-4 hour videos that they make everybody watch when they come on board or something. And they say, well, can you just take this video and chop it up and make it into micro learning? And the answer is sometimes, yeah, sometimes, but it's not the best way to do it. And really and we have done that for people, but really the best way to do it is to kind of go through our onboarding process, learn from our PhDs that are going to talk to you about best practices around, creating that single concept of, for a particular lesson, break your content up into these short segments. And we help with that. That's part of our consultative onboarding process. But the best advice is, I would say, whether I advise on how to do it, I would say the best thing is to do it. I can tell you the companies that have adopted micro learning as part of their kind of cater, and it's not all content is perfect for it. I wouldn't go try to create a philosophy course around on micro learning, but some topics, and in particular topics that are work related, are often it's the perfect fodder for micro learning because, it's a skill. It's a specific thing. And there's three things you got to do right, three things you got to do wrong, or you're going to cut off your finger, or you're going to lose an eye. And so it's important to communicate that clearly and succinctly and shortly. So I guess my best advice would be give us a call. But my second best advice would be, at least follow some of the experts, and you can find them on LinkedIn. You can find a lot of people on micro learning. It's still an evolving area. It hasn't. Even though it's a lot different than it was in 2020, it's still something that I think is you could call two different vendors who claim they do micro learning, and it's still sort of different even then.
Cool. All right. Well, sage advice. Pete Mastin, co-founder, CEO of Learny. Some of those independent voices that are in my circle are Dr. Carl Kopp and Robin DeFelice.
Robin. Both, I was thinking of Robin when I said that. And
both rock stars here in micro learning, and I encourage you to follow them because they're going to help do a lot of the things that Pete and his PhDs are doing for you, is helping you think about the new strategy of micro learning, not just chopping up a big video, but really how to approach it scientifically in an instructional design manner. So there's that piece of advice. Pete, thanks for stopping by the Talented Learning Show. It was great to have you here.
Love it, man. Thanks, John.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I learned a lot. I always do talking to you. And it's fun to see all the progress in your solution. Since I first saw it, you know, it was, you're brand new. So I saw, I think before it was even an application, it was screenshots, I think, the first time. So to watch it evolve and get all these clients and see market success, it's a great tribute to you and your leadership. And I think you hit the nail on the head that it works. And so organizations are doing it. And so that certainly makes the job of growing a lot easier for you. So listeners, thanks very much for tuning in to another episode of the Talented Learning Show. It was great to have you here. I hope you found value, and we'll see you on the next. Have a great day. And you can find more of our independent resources at talentedlearning.com, and you can check out Learny at mylearny.com.